the inspired writer Jude lifted up upon the wings of divine inspiration, wrote these words: "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, and power." I want to say this morning that God is able. I said he's able. He's able to turn barren deserts into blooming gardens of flowers. He's able to turn sadness into gladness. He's able to turn sorrow into sunshine. He's able to turn a setback, hallelujah, into a comeback. Oh, I tell you, God is able. He's able. And because he's able, everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. And I want to read verse number 15. John chapter 11, verse number 15. You have that, say amen. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." I want to read that again. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, "I'm glad for your sakes I was not there." I want to say that again. "I am glad for your sakes I was not there." Now, when I look at this text exegetically, when I look at this text analytically, when I look at this text hermeneutically, when I look at this text theologically, I know that there's a word from the Lord, because the word of God never comes back to him void. It is an effectual word. Yes, God's word is in a class all by itself. And when we look at this text today, there are many things, because around the world today it is recognized in the world of quote unquote Christendom that this is Easter Sunday. But I want to tell you that every Sunday is Easter Sunday in the Church of Christ. Because if you understand the theology of the resurrection, if you understand the Bible's teaching about the resurrection, you know that if Christ is not raised, we are yet in our sins. If Christ is not raised, our faith is vain. If Christ is not raised, those who have fallen asleep in him have perished. And if Christ is not raised, we of all men are most miserable. But I'm so glad to tell you this morning that Jesus rose, got up from the grave with all power in his hand. And because he lives, my faith is not vain. Because he lives, I am not in my sins. Because he lives, those who have died in him are resting from their labors. Because I heard the writer said, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. For henceforth, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Because he lives, I want to tell you this morning, we are not the most miserable men in the world. In fact, if you know the Lord, you ought to be happy. If you know the Lord, there ought to be some joy in your life. If you know God, there ought to be some peace in your life. Is that right? Because he's in the blessing business. And I'm reminded of that great saying in scripture. It's always relevant to say it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Amen. You see, if we will listen to the Bible, if we will receive the message of Scripture, it will help us. If we will receive the message of Scripture, it will bless us. If we receive the message of Scripture, it will heal us. If we receive the message of Scripture, it will save us. But you got to have ears to hear what the Bible has to say. Amen. The Bible wasn't written to soothe us, but it was written to save us. The Bible wasn't written to entertain us, it was written to enlighten us. The Bible wasn't written to harass us, it was written to help us. Is that all right? And if we will receive it, it will help us. Now, when we look at this text today, John chapter 11, there was an emergency in Bethany. Lazarus, if you would, for you medical thinkers in the audience today, if you would rate his sickness, he was in critical condition. He was sick enough to die. And he did die. But they sent the message to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to move with haste and urgency. But sometimes, church, God delays his coming. I know he's an on-time God, but sometimes he delays his coming because there was a bigger issue at stake. You see, in the world, in the real world where people live, I know we talk a lot about how the world ought to be and how the world should be, how the world should be, but the reality is we have to deal with the way the world is. And in the real world, some people are better off than others. Can y'all say amen to that? Some people are better off physically than others. Some people are better off financially than others. Some people are better off educationally than others. And some people, most importantly, are better off spiritually. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus delayed his coming or his going to Bethany because he saw a bigger issue. And that's why he said in this text to his disciple, I'm glad. I know that Mary and Martha wanted him to get in a hurry, but he didn't get in a hurry. He stayed right where he was two more days. And he said to them, I'm glad. For your sakes, I wasn't there. I want to talk about that. I want to give you five reasons this morning why it was good he wasn't there. And I know it was good he wasn't there because he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. And if he said, and he did say it, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. And I know if he said he was glad he wasn't there, it was good he wasn't there because he said it. Is that all right? So it was good, Brother Wynn, that he wasn't there. Let's think about five reasons why it was good he wasn't there. Here's the first reason. It was good he wasn't there for the glory of God. It was good he wasn't there for the glory of God. Now the message came to Jesus. You have your Bibles. Look with me at verse number 4, the message. Verse 3, rather. His sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, of course, that's always the implied message. And even though this particular verse doesn't say for him to come, the reason they told him that he was sick was because they wanted Jesus to come on by and do something about his sickness. Is that all right? When Jesus heard it, he said a strange thing. He said that this sickness is not unto death, but this sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. In other words, I know he's sick enough to die. In fact, I know he's gonna die. But I also know he ain't gonna stay dead. Is that all right? Yes, he's sick enough to die, but this sickness is not unto death. It's for the glory of God. You see, God is going to be glorified through this sickness. Do you not know God can be glorified through your sickness? I know we don't like to hear that, but that's a fact. Because sometimes through my sickness, God can get my attention when he couldn't get it no other time. Is that all right? So God is going to be glorified. I know we think about our agendas and a lot of us thinking about what we're going to do when this service is over. Y'all can say amen. Hope Brother Moss don't preach too long, because I got a day planned today. Is that all right? Oh, and this is a beautiful Easter parade audience. Is that all right? Oh, y'all know you're looking good this morning. Is that right? And I know we have our agendas, but there is a thing in life. It's called the glory of God. And that's an important idea in Scripture. It is an important idea in life. I hear the psalmist saying in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. You can't look up into the sky without seeing the glory of God. Amen. You can't look up into the firmament without beholding the glory of God. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 8, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Then in Isaiah chapter 6, about verse 3, the Bible said that the seraphim, the angels, the seraphim, they each had 6 wing sparks. With 2 they covered their eyes. With 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they did fly. And they cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. This whole world is just full of the glory. When you look in the mirror, you see the glory of God. God, you can say, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Is that all right? That's why I want you to know that we are on this earth. The very purpose for us on this earth, every one of us, is to glorify God. I know you think it's just for you to go to school and get a degree and get a husband and a wife and have some baby. That's wonderful, isn't it? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Nothing wrong with getting married, is it? Is it, Brandon? Nothing wrong with getting married. No, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? But it's more to life than just we are on this earth to glorify God. That's why the Bible said, let your light so shine. Live in such a way that by your lifestyle you bring honor and glory to God. That's what he's saying. And when we do not live in such a way where we bring honor and glory to God, we fall short. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen. Every time I sin, I fail to glorify God. Every time I'm disobedient, I'm not living up to my real purpose. And my real purpose, you see what I'm talking about? You see, your career is one thing, but your purpose is another. Is that all right? You see, my purpose is what I'm made for. And I'm made to glorify God. God's glory ought to be an issue in your life. It shouldn't just be about you. It's got to be about the God who woke you up this morning, started you on your way, the God who put shoes on your feet. You got some new shoes on today. God put them on you. You got a new suit on. He gave it to you. Because all blessings come from God. And so this sickness that Lazarus had was not merely a sickness of Lazarus. Because there was a man born blind. The disciples one day asked, well, who sinned? And Jesus said, nobody sinned. But this man, listen, this man was born blind for the purpose of the glory of God. Born blind, but yet the Son of God opened his blinded eyes. Eyes had never seen a sunrise. Eyes had never seen a blue sky. Eyes had never seen a sunset, but yet the Son of God opened his eyes. He wasn't born blind just to be born blind. He was born blind for the glory of God. Lazarus got sick for the glory of God. Lazarus died. Are you listening? For the glory of God. Is that correct? And so Jesus explained to them, because he had to help the disciples to understand that they got the news. Lazarus was sick, and he said, well, I'm going to go and wake him up. And they said, you know, because they were limited in their understanding, they said, well, Master, if he's asleep, he's doing all right. Don't wake him up. Let him sleep. And Jesus finally told him, he's sleeping the sleep of death. But I'm going to go and wake him up. Here's the second point. It was good. He was not there for the disciples' sake. Are you listening? It was good he was not there for the disciples' sake. And so look at verse number 7, Brother Hillary. What did that say, my brother?
Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again.
Let us go in. Now, Brother Moss read that if somebody has shot at you and tried to cut you in West End, you wouldn't be too quick to go back, would you? Y'all all right? If somebody tried to hurt you in a place, you make a note of that, don't you? Well, look at verse 8. The disciple said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you. And you mean to tell me you want to go back? Can you see that? Now, Jesus, we with you, but now, however. So like my so-called partners told me, man, we with you, but it was just too many of them. You was in a fight, but we didn't help you because it was too many. That's what I need your help when it's too many. Is that all right? They said, Master, do you want to go back? And they tried to kill. Look at the next verse. Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day?
Are there not? Now, so to help them, Jesus used a parabolic method to help them to see what was happening. Because here's something we all need to see. Jesus said to them, what, Brother Hillary?
Are there not 12 hours in the day?
Are there not 12 hours in a day? Aren't there 12 hours in a day? 12 hours in a night, is that correct? That constitutes one solar day, is that correct? Read it, Brother Hillary.
If any man walk in the day,
if any man walk in the day,
he stumbleth not.
He stumbleth not.
Because he seeth the light of
because
the world.
He seeth the light of the world.
But if a man walk in the night,
but if a man walk in the night,
he stumbleth.
He stumbleth.
Because there is no light in
because
him.
Because there is no light in him. Now, what does this mean? And how is this relevant to you? This is what he's saying to the disciples. Yes, it's true. They tried to kill me. And in all probability, they're going to try it again. But the 12 hours, watch this now, in the day represent your lifetime. Listen, you're not going to die until God gets ready. Let me say something to you. You're not going to die. Folks may try to kill you. You might say, well, man, I was in a bad accident and I just got out. God wasn't ready for you. Well, I was in a house. It was burning down and I got out alive. God wasn't ready for you. You're not going to, I don't care who tries to take your life. Your life is in God's hand. And nobody is going to be able to kill you or hurt you without God's permission. So, yes, I'm going back. I'm going to achieve God's purpose. I'm going back because I'm going to glorify God. I got to go back to Bethany because God's glory is at stake. So I'm going back. And he said, if a man, and watch this. He said, if you walk in the light, listen, if you walk according to God's purpose for your life, how many today believe God has a plan for your life? How many believe God has a purpose for your life? You are not on this planet by accident. You are not the result of the fortuitous confusion of molecules. You are on this earth because of the purpose of God. You have lived as many years as you live because God kept death away. But when the night comes, and night is coming on all of our lives, when the night comes, you can't walk. As long as you're in the day, you ought to be living up to God's purpose for your life. Is that all right? So even though the disciples are fearful, Jesus said, I'm going back, and I'm glad that when Lazarus died, I'm glad I was not there for your sake because I want you to come to a higher place. You see, some of us spiritually stay in the same place too long. Are you listening? You see, some people already knew he could heal the sick. They knew he could open blinded eyes. They knew twisted limb would straighten at his touch. They knew crippled legs got up and walked. They knew that chronic and long-standing diseases were healed by a single word or a single touch. But they did not know he was the master of death. He's the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the master of any problem you have in your life right now. You don't have a problem so big. That's why it's foolish for us to worry. Instead of worrying, we ought to be taking it to God in prayer. You'll worry yourself silly. You'll worry yourself sick. Is that right? Jesus Christ was going to take them to another level. How many want to go to another level financially? Now, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, you know you want to go to another level financially. Hello? That's why we're hollering so now about they're talking about they're gonna increase the sewer rates. Ain't we hollering about that? Y'all hollering at the gas pump? Thank you. I guess the rest of I'm hollering with you, brother. And they saying, now listen to me, they saying, Eddie, that by summer gas is going to be $6 a gallon, Bianca. You hear that, B? You want a hollow spark? You want to see it? Oh, I don't want to see it though, spark. I hope it don't happen. Is that right? But how many want to go to another level spiritually? Now listen, in order to do that, you got to go through something. And that's why Jesus said, I was glad for your sake. I wasn't there. I'm looking at something bigger. Hello? Here's a third reason. It was good he wasn't there. It was good he wasn't there for Martha and Mary's sake. Now, Martha was the older sister. Mary was the younger sister. Lazarus was their brother. Jesus had a connection with this family. And that's why they sent the word, the one you love is sick. Yeah. And it was strange that Jesus didn't come. You see that? So they get they send the word that he's sick. Jesus doesn't come. And Lazarus dies. Now 4 days later, he shows up. Y'all listening? He shows up in Bethany 4 days later. Sister Valerie said, and she's right, there was some thinking among Jewish rabbis that when you die, your spirit hovers over your body for 3 days trying to reunite with your body. I've heard people even say that I could see myself lying on the bed and I was above myself. Now, can't nobody disprove that? But we do know this. This is a fact. We do know when a person dies, his spirit leaves his body. We know that. That's why we say he or she departed this life. So there was some thinking that 3 days, the body is deceased. And if the spirit cannot unite in 3 days, and then the spirit takes off. So here's Jesus 4 days later. When he got there, he met two disappointed, devastated sisters. And perhaps with fresh tears in her eyes, perhaps with a heart breaking, perhaps with her voice trembling with emotion, Martha got up and went out to meet him, but Mary sat in the house. Mary wouldn't even come out. And when she got there, she met him. She said, Lord, if you had been here, where were you, Lord? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus told her, you see, Martha and Mary, it's necessary for you to go through this experience because I got to take you to a higher place. Are you listening? And sometimes people, doing their thing and they think they big and bad. But, God can bring anybody down. God can stop anybody. You ain't so big and you ain't so bad. God can't stop you. Is that all right? So Mary and Martha had to go to another place. And I want to tell you, if God can take you to it, God can take you through it. Is that all right? They had to go through an experience so their faith could come to another level. Brother Hillary, let's drop down now quickly to expedite the time. Verse number 21. Let's see what it says here. Let's listen in on this conversation. What does it say?
Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord,
if thou
hast been here,
if you had been here,
my brother had not died.
If you had just come when we call you. But Lord, where were you, Lord? If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Amen. Read, Brother Hillary.
But I know that even now.
But I know that even now.
Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
Now, even though she said that, she did not fully understand what she was saying. You ever said something and didn't really fully understand the implication and the consequence of what you were saying? She said, even though I know, because her thinking and her spiritual awareness was not on a level that it needed to be. Read on, brother. What does it say?
Jesus saith unto her.
He said unto her.
Thy brother shall rise.
He said, listen, watch this. Watch this now. Don't y'all miss this. Jesus said, your brother is going to what?
Rise again.
How many this morning believe in the resurrection? Amen. Believe in the resurrection that one day, and you know, let me tell you something, it's a possibility you may not see physical death. You don't have to die physically. You could be alive when the Lord comes. The only question is, when he comes, will you be ready? Will you be running out of a house you ain't got no business in? Hello, y'all. Will you be in a place you shouldn't have been? Hello, y'all. What if Jesus come on Sunday night? Y'all didn't look for that, did you? I mean, I didn't get not one amen. I mean, nothing on that one. Is that all right? I believe in the resurrection. He said to her, your brother. But if he had been there when they called for him, her brother couldn't have died. Are y'all feeling this? She said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have. But if he had been there, then he could not glorify God through. Listen, you may be going through something you can't even explain. And you can say to yourself, I've tried to serve God, I'm having such a hard time. I've tried to be a faithful church member, I've tried to treat people right, and I'm still just having a hard time. Folks on my job acting crazy. The cat won't speak to me. The dog tried to bite me. Is that all right? And the wife won't hold your hand. Y'all all right? And you can't even explain why all of this is happening to you. So he says, your brother. Come on, Brother Hillary.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
Okay, now back up. I mean, I wonder what he says to her. Her brother is going to rise again. What did she say?
Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Your brother's going to rise again.
Martha said.
But see, listen, she had no idea in just a few moments. She was looking way. Let me ask you something. When is Jesus coming back, y'all? Let me ask again. When is Jesus coming back, church? But in your mind, do you feel like it's a long way off? Come on now, let's talk this morning. You don't think that's going to happen tomorrow, do you? You getting ready for your vacation. Wait a minute, Jesus. Is that right? I got my retirement party. I got to graduate in May. You coming back before I graduate? Is that all right? We got to have the baby shower. You coming back before then? Come on, y'all. Is that all right? When is he coming back? Now, since we don't know when he's coming back, how should that impact my living? I can't hear nothing. Since I don't know when the Lord is coming back, how should that affect the way I'm living? Well, let me put it this way. If you knew you had 10 days to live, well, let me give you 2 weeks. A sheet let down from heaven with your name on it. You have 14 days to live, signed God. Well, that's your question. How would you live those 14 days? Think you pray a lot? Think you read your Bible a lot? Think you attend all the services? 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 If you had 14 days. Now, since you don't know, amen, then there's certain things I need to try to do. Is that right? Let's go a little further right here. What does it say?
Martha saith unto him.
Martha said unto him.
I know that he shall rise.
I know he's going to rise when?
In the resurrection.
In the resurrection. There's a day when all in the grave are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And all the people in the grave. And some people say, I don't see how in the world them people are going to get up. All that dirt on them. They in the casket. They in the vault. And the tombstone. So how in the world they going to get up? Ain't nothing too hard for God. You mean to tell me God can't move no dirt? Tell me God can't move a tombstone? You mean to tell me God can't open a casket? There he spoke a word and worlds exploded into existence. But how in the world they going to get up? They're going to get up at the voice of Jesus. And so she said, I know he's going to get up at the resurrection. Read, Brother Hillary.
Jesus saith,
he said unto her,
I am the resurrection.
Jesus said unto her, I got news for you. I got news for you. I am. I don't think y'all heard that. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said, will never die. He had to take her faith to a new place. Martha, I know you're looking down the road for a resurrection, but the resurrection is standing right in front of you. You're talking to the resurrection. You're talking about him being sick. I can help him when he's dead. Is that all right? Here's the fourth point. Here's a big one. It was good he was not there for the fence straddlers. Did y'all get that? It was good he was not there for the fence straddlers. The people who trying to serve two masters. The people who trying to love two. It ain't easy to trying to love two ain't easy to trying to love two ain't easy to. That's what I thought. Some people know I ought to be a Christian, but they can't get off the fence. Amen. Martha, when Martha went in the house and told Mary that the master was there, she came out to him, said the same thing. She fell down and worshiped him. And said, Master, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But the master keeps saying, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes. I'm glad I wasn't there because God had to be glorified. I'm glad I wasn't there because the disciple had to believe a little more. They had to improve their believing. Is that all right? Sort of like this story I told, and I tell you again, since it's Resurrection Sunday, in some people's mind, that was a couple, a Christian couple who lost a child. And that can be a devastating thing to lose a child. We don't want to go through that. But this couple lost a child. And the next Sunday after the funeral, this couple was in church teaching Sunday school. There was a man in the church said, I don't see how they do it. And there was a little boy sitting on the seat. He said, but they believe. And the man said, believe what? The little boy said, they believe in the resurrection. And the man said, well, all of us believe that. And the little boy said, but not like they do. You see, some folks in the church believe, but some don't believe like they do. Is that all right? So the fence straddlers, let's drop down to verse 37, Brother Hillary. Let's look at the fence straddler. There are some people who know, who in the back of your mind, I'm going to give my life to Christ, but just not today. Is that all right? What does verse 37 say? Read it.
And some of them said.
And some of them said.
Could not this man. Which
could not this man.
Which opened the eyes of the
which
blind.
Which opened the eyes of the blind.
Have caused that even this man should not have died.
So everybody's still looking at the fact that Lazarus what? Should not have died. But Jesus keeps saying, I'm glad I wasn't. Are y'all saying this? Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, what? He wouldn't have died. The people on the fence said, could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes, couldn't he have prevented this man from dying? But Jesus keeps saying, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes. So now let's bring it to a close. So Jesus now is moving to the grave. Mary and Martha with him, and the Jews go with him. And when he saw Mary and Martha weeping, you know, sometime when you love somebody, and you see them weeping, it makes you weep. Can you say amen to that? Sometime when you see somebody's heart breaking that you love, it makes your heart break. So now the shortest verse in the Bible. I want to say to all the men in the house, it's all right, real men do cry. You hear me? Because the Bible says that in the shortest verse in the Bible, I remember at Roosevelt City, we used to stand up every Sunday in Bible class. I want to urge everybody, let's start coming back to Bible class, church. I didn't hear much on that. I want to challenge you to arrange your schedule where you can come to Bible class on Sunday morning. Say amen if you want to. It'll bless you. Is that all right? But I remember in the Bible class, Brother Harris, one of the elders at the Roosevelt City Church of Christ, and he would start off with a scripture. My mama would quote Hebrews 12:2, and I'd quote mine. But there was always a brother in church. He would quote John 11:35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Is that in that Bible, Brother Hilbert? Jesus wept. Read it, Brother Hilbert. What does it say?
Jesus wept.
Jesus, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus what?
Wept.
Jesus wept, didn't he? But now, you know why he wept? Because he saw the heart of Mary and Martha breaking. He saw the tears of people. We weep with them that weep. We rejoice with them that rejoice. Is that right? Because we're all tied together in a single garment of destiny. Is that all right? Yes, we're tied together. So Jesus, now I want you to see this now. So now Jesus is moving to the grave. And he said, now show me where you laid him. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But come on, show me where you laid him. They put him in a cave, Bianca. And on this cave, they put a large stone at the mouth of the cave to keep the wild animals out of the cave to devour the dead bodies. So now Jesus says, as they move to the graveside, and it's a great crowd out there at the graveside. Jesus said, now, take away the stone. Martha said, wait a minute. It's been 4 days. He's stinking by now. Jesus said, do you remember I told you, if you would just believe, you see the glory of God. And so now they take away the stone. And the Son of God, Mary's baby, the champion of Calvary, the King of Kings, is standing before that open tomb. Lazarus has been in that tomb now 4 days. They hope he had got there earlier, but he's here now. Can you see it? And so now Eddie, he lifts up his eyes to heaven and he begins to pray a prayer. He says, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Lord, I know you've always heard me, but I'm praying this prayer for the people who are standing around. I'm praying this prayer for the people sitting on the fence, the people who can't make up their mind. They said this actually happened. A misguided person recently thought he had resurrection power. Said it actually happened. Went to a funeral and stood before the casket and told the family he was going to raise up the dead person. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I wouldn't attempt that. Matter of fact, I've been preaching over 30 years. I've never attempted a resurrection. Never. And if I preach 30 more, I never will, Sister Scott. Because I know Peter Moss is not the resurrection. Is that right? And so he stood and he cried for this person to get up, to get up, to get up, to get up. And guess what happened, church? Nothing. But let's go back. Jesus now has prayed the prayer. And the Bible says, he cries with a great voice. He cries with a loud voice, Sister Pat. He cries with an elevated voice. He said, Lazarus. I don't think y'all heard that. He said, Lazarus, I need you to get up for the glory of God. Lazarus, I need you to come on out of there. Y'all still can't see this. Come on, Sparks. You got to be Lazarus. Come on, Sparks. You Lazarus. All right. Hillary, come here. Stand in front of him. You dare standing in front of him. He's, oh, Lord. Come on, Hillary, man. Shabbos, you on Easter? Y'all still ain't saying this. Now, you dead, Sparks. You dead. No, you dead. Well, you can sit down. You dead. This is death. Jesus is standing before the grave, Sister Johnson. Let me do it again. He's prayed to the Father. And now, Hillary, when you hear the voice of Jesus, you're death, right? You got to move out the way. Sparks, you got to get up and come on out the grave. It ain't time yet. Sit down, sit down. It ain't time yet. I'm running this resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. Come on, Lazarus, for the glory and the honor of God. Is that all right? And when he came forth, he had a napkin around his face. He had his hand bound. He had his feet bound. You got a hops box. He had his feet bound. Is that all right? And Jesus said, come here, Wynn. Stay right there, Sparks. Y'all still don't see this. Stay there. Right here. Come on, right here, right here, right here. Hand over your face. Now, Wynn, he been raised. I need you to get them grave clothes off his feet. I need you to get the grave clothes off his hand. I need you to get the grave clothes off his face. Do that, Wynn. Loose him. You see the clothes coming off? Let him go. Is that all right? He's up for the glory of God. And I tell you this morning, he came to loose me. Isn't that all right? He came to loose me from the power of the devil. He came to loose me from the world. He came to loose me from Satan. Is that all right? He came to loose me so I could go into eternal life. He came to loose me where I can go into a new life. He came to loose me where I can go into the abundant life. He came to loose me where I can go into a peace that passes all understanding. He came to loose me so I could go into full joy. But I want to tell you, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He wasn't there. Is that all right? He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't. Let me tell you how you can get loose this morning. You get loose by hearing the gospel. You get loose by believing it. You get loose by repenting of your sins. You get loose by confessing Christ. And you get loose by being baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Is that all right? And I'm going to my seat, but I got to tell you this. I'm so glad. I know Brother West, he's an on-time God. But I'm glad this morning, Sam White, he was late. Is that all right? He was late for Lazarus. He was late for the glory of God. He was late for the disciples' faith. He was late for Martha's and Mary's faith. And he was late for your sakes and my sakes. Is that all right? Even though I live on the other side of the cross, he was late for you and he was late for me. Is that all right? And I'm so glad this morning that Jesus rose. I tell you, Jesus rose. Is that all right? He got up from the grave early on Sunday morning with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist. Is that all right? And I'm so glad that he got up from the grave. And he got up so he could be my Savior. He endured the cross so he could be my Savior. He trotted out the wine press alone so he could be my Savior. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men so he could be my Savior. He ascended back to heaven and sat down on the right hand of God so he could be my Savior. Is that all right? I'm so glad he was late. Is that all right? But I tell you, he's an on-time God. I hear the Hebrew writer saying in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, now the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant to make you perfect to do his will, working that which is pleasing in your own sight. Is that all right? I'm glad he got up so I can say the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Is that all right? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. Yes, can anybody say this morning, he restores my soul. Is that all right? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now watch this. The psalm writer, he changes the figure. He moves from a shepherd to a gracious host. To a gracious hope. Thou preparest. Thou preparest. Y'all didn't see that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence Folks who don't like me are seeing me eating. Folks who don't like me, seeing me getting promoted. Folks who don't like me, seeing me getting blessed. Folks who don't like me, see me rising to a new level. Is that all right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. But not only that, thou anointest. Glory, hallelujah. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. I know that Maxwell House said it's good to the last drop. I know that Folger say it's good to the brim. But my cup, I don't think y'all see it. My cup runneth over. I got so much I can't hold it in, Brother Mill. But then he said, surely goodness and mercy. Can anybody use a little goodness this morning? Anybody use a little mercy this morning? My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to say thank you, Master, for being late. Is that all right? I know you an on-time God, but I want to thank you for being late because you helped me by being late. I'm glad, Master, you wasn't there, because if you had been there, he couldn't have died. And if you had been there, you couldn't have got him up. Is that all right? If you'd have been there, Martha's faith couldn't have gone to a new level. If you had been there, the disciples' faith couldn't have gone to a new level. If you had been there, you couldn't have helped me. And he couldn't have helped you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master, for caring enough to be late. Is that, I know you're an on-time God, but you cared enough to be late. And then he said, as I conclude, I made a decision. I'm going to dwell. I said, I'm going to dwell. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days. Or should I say forever? I don't ever plan to leave God's house. And even when I die, I don't leave God's house. I just move to another level. Would you stand, please? That's the message. I'm so glad. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there. Is that all right? I'm glad he wasn't there, because he took me to another place. Are you here this morning? He wasn't there so he could bless you. And I want to let you know your blessing is on the way. Oh Lord, I come to receive, I'm patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, 11 and 1, the kind of faith. And it's mine. Oh, mine. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, I come to receive my blessing. Patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, the kind of faith, and in mine, oh mine, oh yeah.